everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's December. It's near the end of the year. It's my birthday month. And as a matter of fact, it's actually my birthday week. And I'm sharing that honor with today's amazingly awesome guest who's having a birthday tomorrow. But by the time this thing airs, that birthday will have passed. Since my God. But welcome to Dadcast, man. Former BMX rider, probably still riding all the time, and host of MTV's The Challenge, Mr. TJ Lavin. How are you, man?
Good, brother. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Dude, we're so stoked to have you on, man. Thank you for doing this. This is awesome.
That's great, man. Great.
Absolutely. Love that. Love that room you're in, man. Looking good.
Thank you, sir.
So
we are a little bummed. We're supposed to be down in Vegas with you, but my kid came to me and he's like, "Hey dad, I've got my first high school basketball game at home tomorrow night." And I'm like, "Are you, it's going to be Wednesday night and I'm or Tuesday night." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm supposed to be in Vegas, dude." So he was all devastated. So I'm like, "All right, I'm going to be the good dad. Cancel the Vegas trip and we'll do the Zoom."
That a boy.
So here we are.
You know what the really good dad would have done?
Taking him with us.
Damn right. Just throw him up and, you know, here, go. Here's some money. Go play some video games. We'll be back in a couple hours.
Exactly.
And spend some time around in round
Vegas. We could have called Jordan Farmar up and said, "Hey, bud, go play basketball, Jordan."
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, TJ, the premise of Dadcast, we try to do our best to talk all things dad, but we tend to go off the rails on our episodes and talk about pretty much anything and everything that comes up. And by tend to, I mean pretty much every single episode. First question we have for you is, and I already know the answer, but for the viewers and the listeners watching, are you a dad?
I am.
All right. And daughter, son, multiple?
Yes, I have a daughter. Yep. I have a daughter. She's 22. I adopted her when she was 5. And she's my world. I love her. She's the best. She's the coolest daughter anyone could ever have, anyone ever hope for. I mean, she's amazing. When I first met her, I was unbelievably stoked. And like, this is the cutest 5-year-old that I've ever seen in my life. She would dress up in her like Hannah Montana outfit. Like, she didn't love Hannah Montana. She didn't even know who that was. But she just, that's how she rolled. Like, she just rolled like with big boots and hat and whole kit. And like she would go exploring in the backyard and stuff. Like, it was the coolest, cutest thing I ever seen in my life. And we had a big dog named Mac. He was a Mack truck. He was a big Mac. And he was like, he was a Labrador, a giant lab. And they bonded like you wouldn't believe. So much so that when he passed away, she never loved another dog again. Like, my dog, I have 4 dogs now and she doesn't love them. She's like, "Yeah, whatever." And she's 22 and she never got over Mac. Like, she loved that dog. So it's pretty devastating for her, but that was such a cute bond they had. But yeah, she's the most incredible daughter you could ever hope for. I mean, she put herself through hair school and it was $19,000 and she saved up and spent all her money on hair school, became a hairstylist, and now she's like the coolest hairstylist in Las Vegas and works at a place called Square, and which is like the coolest hair place in Las Vegas. And that, like, everybody wants to work there, and she went and got an apprenticeship and was like working her ass off just for no money and just like being the understudy of somebody there for a year and change. And like, she did that just to be where she's at today. And I just, like, the drive and hustle, I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. And I'm stoked to be her dad.
Well, that's also awesome. Said something about you, man. You know?
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's great.
Hustle, it's learned, I think. It's not inherited.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Well, I got to ask for JP and I. 17 to 22. How did you navigate those waters? So we both have 17-year-old daughters, and it's a trip. It's like they both got their licenses. They're both very independent. Mine is anyway. I'm pretty sure JP's is pretty independent as well.
And she tries to be, but yeah, okay,
tries to be. Yeah. So how did you navigate through that? And does it get better from the know-it-all attitude? And
yes. 17 sucks. 15 is brutal, or 15 was better, but like when they turn 12, 13 and they don't even know why they're crying, it's hard. Right. It's real hard. Right. So then when 17 hits and 18, it's, oh, I know everything. I'm an adult. I want to do whatever I want to do. And you're not going to do anything about it. And depending on how hard headed they are, you kind of got to let go. Like it's weird, but like I had to learn how to let go and be okay with her going out with boys and doing boy things and whatever, being a little bit into them. And it is what it is. Like if you're not, then you're going to lose them. And that's the only thing that I realized, like she was so hard headed that she would give everything in the world up just to hang out with a boy. And so I ended up like meeting the boy and loving the boy, and it is what it is, you know what I mean? Back in the day. And that was when she was 17, 18. And I was like, dude, like let go, like get over it. That's your own protecting her, whatever. Let her be her own person and realize that you taught her to be a good human. So her natural instincts are going to be to hang out with boys. Right. So you can't mess with nature, you know, like it is what it is. Like it, you just hope that you taught her the best. You hope that you like taught her how to act and how to be, and that she uses everything that she uses that you've tried to instill in her to the best of her ability. And that's all you can hope for, because at the end of the day, like you and I both know, like it's going to happen. Everything is going to happen. And when it's up to you if you want to be on the team or not. And I want to be on her team and forever. So if you don't want to be on the team and you want to be the guy that's in the dark and the guy that's in the dark and that's just has head in the sand and really hopes that his daughter is the only one in the whole world that's not having sex, you know, and then not thinking about it, like it's not that, bro. Like it's not. So either pull your head out of the sand and be on her team and help her, or just be the guy that's head in the sand and be like, no, they're not doing anything. She's not doing anything. And and that's never going to happen.
I definitely like, want to be on the team, but I still like to be coach, you know?
Yeah, but you can't coach her through her entire life. You have you have to let go. It's the hardest thing in the world. And something I had to learn the hard way was to let go, because one time I got all smart and really like pissed off because I wasn't on the team, you know, and she was going cross town and hanging out with this dude. And like, and I said some stuff that was a little bit harsh, and I was like, I shouldn't have said it. And as soon as I said it, I was like, man, that was kind of stupid. Why did I say that? And then she's like, okay, cool. You want to play like that? No problem. Moved out and lived on her aunt's couch and took the bus to work. Like, that's how hardcore she is. Like, right. She just said, okay, fine. You know, I'll do whatever I want. I'm 18. See ya. And I was like, dude, and there's nothing you can do. Like, I'm like, that is the stupidest goddamn thing I ever did in my whole life. Like what an idiot. Like, why wouldn't you just let go? Like, you just have to let go. You want to like, you know, keep your thumbs on them and keep them grounded and all this stuff. Like, dude, it's not up to you. You know what I mean? It's not up to you. You think it is. And you think like, just because you make the money and that you do the things and you provide, well, if your daughter is anything that like you hope that she would be, she's independent, dude. She's doing her thing regardless. Whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. Like your like goal is to get her and fly, let her do her thing and like be so proud of her and be an incredible human, be kind to everyone, be as cool to the bus stop guys that she is to the president of her company. And like all those things that you instilled in her, you hope that she is. And now just let her be that, you know? So it's like, you have to let go and let her do her thing and then be proud of her and just hope that she makes you as proud of her as my daughter. Like, I can't say enough good things about how my daughter has turned out. And it's from little lessons like that. And she taught me that lesson herself. You know, like 18 years old, she taught me something. I was 40, 40 years old at the time. And I was taught something by an 18-year-old, you know, it's pretty cool. Like, I was like, wow, like that's really, I mean, Jesus, that's a look in the mirror.
Right. That's as it should be. I think, you know, it's this whole parenting game. I mean, you've got the one girl, 22. She's now an adult child, obviously. Yeah. Nick is got six kids, one of them just barely over a year old, starting over fresh late in the game.
Yeah, I was almost done. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I got remarried. My wife didn't have kids. And she's like, let's have a baby. So we did IVF and did that whole process and got an awesome little baby. And like, it's just, it's a whole different ball game being right. older and chasing a little one around. And this kid's got so much freaking energy. It's crazy. He's like a little rock star.
Well, yeah.
I blame Ben and Brian though. Ben Carey and Brian Hopkins. Like he loves them, loves their music. And just, he loves to like imitate what Brian Hopkins does as far as like just being the rock star. And
oh, like, that's so rad. Yeah.
There goes Nick name dropping Brian again.
Yeah.
He somehow makes his way into every single episode of Dadcast. I myself have, again, the 17-year-old. She's my stepdaughter as well. We kind of have similar paths there, TJ. She became into my life when she was about 5 years old as well. Her birthday was 2 days ago. She just turned 17, got her license last week. And, well, I can say this now because we've talked about it. I can say it in public now, Nick. She got her license, and 24 hours later, she got in a car accident.
So did we ever find out what happened with that car accident?
Yeah, she rear-ended some guy. Now, the guy shouldn't have been what he was doing, but it was still kind of both people at fault, et cetera, but she's fine. The car is not, and that's just a story to tell that, you know, my teenage daughter didn't even have her license a day, and she totaled her car, and that's a tough one.
I have something for that as well.
All right, let's do it.
The reason that she totaled her car is because she was texting. And that's 100%. I mean, I would say that's a 95% or greater.
Absolutely.
Possibility.
Okay? But she hasn't admitted to it.
Oh, she did?
She has not admitted to it.
No, hell no, hell no. So they don't admit to that. That's like, I mean, even my best friend, one of my best buddies named Kyle, he was texting and driving and crashed his car. So, and I knew for a fact that's what he was doing, but he told me no. And I said, okay. And then later on, he admitted it. He's like, I did. Sorry, dude. And so that's what happened. And the way that you can prevent that is teach her how to drive stick. I think that helps a lot. Is that was the one thing I did for my daughter is I taught her how to drive stick. And then so she was pissed as hell. Like she didn't want to learn. She didn't want to do it. And then finally, she just gave in and that was it. I was like, this is your truck. I don't care. Whatever you want. So then her friends can't drive her car because they're too stupid to drive stick. And then her, she's the only one, and it empowered her as well. So it empowered her that she knew something that most people don't these days. Like it's crazy, but kids don't know how to drive stick. It's weird. And
it is absolutely baffling. That was the first thing I learned
It's baffling, dude. I mean, you said your daughter just got her license. It's like, dude, you're 17. Are you joking? What are you doing for a year? Like, I can't believe that she just got her license at 17. Like I couldn't wait to get it. You know what I mean? Like it was like chomping at the bit, and I had a stick shift truck sitting there ready to go. And you know, that was my truck and I drove it and it was whatever, but that's the one thing that I'm so proud of is teaching her how to drive stick because it eliminated texting and driving. It eliminated her friends driving her car. It eliminated all that stuff, drunk driving, all that stuff, because she had to be aware and be alert because she was the only one that knew how to drive her car. So it was something that was very cool. And that's something I suggest you maybe get her next time is say, okay, cool. You got a stick shift now. Sorry about your luck.
A combination of two things. I'm going to touch on what you just said there. Why did she wait a whole year? Well, she was chomping at the bit too. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But unfortunately, COVID, DNV, you had to make an appointment and then they get canceled. And literally the appointment, her first appointment was like 6-7 months out. So she didn't have
I stand corrected. You're right.
And there was a couple of failed written tests maybe involved in there too, which kind of negated the swiftness of said acquiring of license. But anywho, she's got it. And now she doesn't have a car. And Oh, it's terrible. It's a poor thing. And it, I, she's like, Dad, can I drive the Tesla? I'm like, you crashed your Honda Civic 24 freaking hours into having your license, and you want to drive Dad's car? Yeah. No, not happening.
Let me think about it now.
Yeah, I didn't even have to think about that one.
No,
good stuff.
That's a rocket ship, first of all. So yep. She doesn't need to be having that thing. Yeah, that's way too gnarly of a car for a kid that just got her license. Like, it's just way too gnarly. Like, yeah. Especially one that's texting and driving or rear-ending anybody for no reason. Doesn't matter. But stick shift, man, I'm telling you. Get her old Toyota truck so it doesn't break down.
That was what I learned in, man, an 83 Toyota 4x, man.
There you go, brother.
1990, 91 is when I first drove. I was like 14.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
man. My daughter's first truck was a 2002 Toyota Tacoma extra cab, long bed, stick shift.
Yep.
And that's what she rode. She rode that for like 3 years or 4 years.
Nick, what was your first car?
The 77 Volkswagen Bug.
Yeah. Nice. All right. That was a stick too.
Yeah, I had it all cherried out, and it was, dude, it was sweet.
That's a dope car. Mine was a 91 Chevy S10 4x4. Or no, it wasn't 4x4. Chevy S10 two-wheel drive stick shift. Nice.
But you guys win. 78 Datsun 510.
Dude, I had a cooler
one. Oh, I love that 510, man.
Yeah, it was cool, but not in 1992. It wasn't very cool. Now it's badass.
I traded my Bug for a 77 Jeep Cherokee Wagoneer. Nice. That was cool. Yeah.
So was that your daughter's first car, the truck that she learned to drive stick on?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's long gone now with the success in the hair styling business.
Well, it's long gone, but now she drives a newer Toyota Tacoma.
Still truck. A stick?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know, a lot of this generation too is it's not their fault really, because a lot of cars, they're hard to find stick. They don't even make a Toyota Camry these days.
They're freaking unicorns now, man.
I know.
They are.
We got my daughter. Her first car is a Toyota Camry, but it's a stick. Like, we're good. They're kind of the same concept of you can't text, you can't make phone calls.
Yeah, right.
Perfect.
Yeah. DJ, how did you navigate your way out of that moment when she moved out, 18, decided to be Miss Independent? You knew you made a mistake. How did you work around that, and how did that get resolved?
Well, I let the moment breathe for a couple of days. First of all, you don't like attack her with love. You know what I mean? You just let her breathe, let it moment. And then it was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, was not trying to fix something right away. Mm-hmm. And so, I apologized. I was a bigger man for sure. Like, I knew that I messed up. It was my fault. And I learned something, you know what I mean? I learned. So I told her and everything, and then she moved back in. And I just changed my behavior 100%, you know, to where it's like, she was like free as you could be, you know what I mean? Like, free as she can be. It wasn't my house, my rules, all that crap, like that you learn when you're growing up as a teenager and stuff like that. It's different days now, dude. Like, you can't just be like my house, my rules, because it is your house, your rules, but your rules need to be a little bit bendable. Like, you need to be a little bit cooler than the average dad if you want to be on the team, because you look at your life and look at what you did and how you did it and who was in the end. My mom was always on the team. She was always on the team. She was always cool. She supplied condoms and all that stuff for me when I was a kid, like when I was 17, 18, 19 years old. I don't know if you're doing anything, but just in case you are, these condoms are in my sock drawer if you need them. And then just put the empty box there if you ever run out, I'll supply for you. And guess what? I never had sex without a condom until I'm 25 or 26 years old. You know what I mean? So I was a very, very like on the team kid, and really realized that she was in it for the right reason. She was telling me this stuff for the right reason. She was helping me, and she did. And I didn't have, you know, a kid out of wedlock right away or anything crazy like that. I could have, who knows what would have happened, you know? Like, she was on the team, so she taught me that. And that's how I was with my daughter, not quite that, like putting those things in her life, but definitely getting her the shot and stuff like that. Like, making sure that we're going to have any kids at 22, 23, 24, you know what I mean? So it was something that I just highly recommend anything like that because
you answer my next question. I said, what were the possible odds of Grandpa TJ Lavin in the future? And it sounds to me like that's going to be a few years out still.
It's a few years out still. And that's the choice that, you know, she was into it. Okay, cool. I'm down with that. So yeah, cool. Let's do it.
If given the choice, are you ready for that?
No.
I don't think any of us are. We're
hell no.
I don't want to be a young grandpa. But I think at the age right now I'm at, I mean, God, I'm going to be 47 in a week, I think. 47 or 48. It's one of those two. And that is, I mean, that's straight grandpa age right there for having little ones. It really is. In fact, I'm skewing a little bit late if you look at averages over the course of history. And I'm like, mentally, physically, I'm like, there's no way in hell am I that old. Yeah. But no, here we are. We've graduated. That's weird,
right?
It is so crazy.
I'm waiting for the phone call from my oldest to like, hey, dad, you're going to be a grandpa. Yeah. I've got a 22-year-old in the military. And he's a little animal.
I tell you what, I'm pretty sure you're already a grandpa. You just don't know. Neither does he.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I ain't going to lie. Damn, man, those late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, well, he just got back in the States, too, so who knows what he was doing in Seoul. Shit.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Man.
Yeah. You have him all over the world, bro.
Nick, you got to teach him right, man. Come on. No rod dogging it. No rod dogging it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the challenge since I got you on.
All right.
How are we doing? Where are we at right now?
It's great. I mean, I plan on hosting that thing till I'm 60. So nice. I'm happy. I couldn't be happier. I'm happy with the whole damn kit. I'm over 30 challenges into the game. Yeah. And like that's 30 seasons of the challenge, rather over 15 years of hosting this show. And I'm just getting tighter and tighter with the crew and cooler with the company. And I just love everyone. So it's crazy, man. I just did a turnaround trip for the president of my company. Her name is Julie Peasy. She's a great, great lady. And she is the president of Buner Murray, which is the production company that makes my show. And it was her birthday the other day, on December 4th. And me and my wife drove out there to LA, did her party, drove back and came to my friend Michael Borden's house for his Christmas party all in one day. Like, it was what a hectic day, dude. Oh, and it was like, I mean, that's how tight we are with our crew, you know, and everybody that I work with. I just love everyone. So it's pretty damn cool.
Nice. Were there any hiccups last year with the pandemic and everything with the show?
We were on hold for about 7 months and then we went right back into it. We went to Iceland and we did Iceland, then Argentina, then Croatia, Mexico, and Panama just now. So it was a lot of seasons right in a row, man. We were just working like crazy. So
I'm digging the Paramount Plus episodes because like there's cussing. It's like it's a little more real than the MTV.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. My wife is like a huge fan. So
married
like 7 years ago and she's just like a diehard challenge fan. So it's like every day, hey, honey, I got to watch. I DVR'd it. I got to watch it. So I've been catching up and now she's going back to all like your first episodes. And I'm like, dude, he's so young.
That's so cool, man. Yeah.
Hell so yeah. So crazy. Yeah. Like, she's like, she was like so bummed she couldn't be here to say hi, but she's like, do you think you can get CT on? I'm like, dude, come on. Really?
Probably not. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Nick, a few months back, actually had COVID. It hit him pretty hard, not as hard as some, obviously. But during his COVID head, I'd like to call it, we had an interview with Josh Berkman, UFC fighter, holds the record for the quickest knockout in UFC history. He challenged Nick, or Nick challenged Josh to an actual fight for charity. Real. No scripts. They're going to go at it in the octagon. And Josh said yes. Then, of course, another pandemic came through and things got halted. But anyway, long story short, Nick was talking about, because we've had you on the list for months and months and months now. We finally got you on. But during that time, Nick said something along the lines during his COVID head about a challenge, Nick.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I can be rest assured it's not going to happen now because he's completely healthy and good and in his right mind.
Oh, wait, a BMX challenge. We should.
Oh, here we go.
What
don't you do, Nick?
Berkman thing, I got like way into health and fitness again. Like I was into it for a long time. So I ended up dropping like 90 pounds and just like I'm hitting the gym 7 days a week, training with different trainers. And I'm like, fuck it. We should start asking some of our guests if we can do some like, jump into their lives and do some stuff that they do. And I'll do it. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm going to jump on a BMX, hell yeah, I'll do it.
You're going to die, Nick.
That would be a really bad idea for BMX. Like
is it like a bunny slope for BMX tracks?
No.
Start them off on that.
There are some smaller jumps and stuff you could start on. That would be cool. But like, if you wanted to come and ride my backyard and stuff, that would probably be a bad idea. Actually, I know it would be a really bad idea because the drop in is a couple stories high. And then when you drop in, the first hit, like just to get into the section, is 30 feet long. So you have to clear 30 feet. It's too far. It's like, it's not working, dude. You know what I mean? No. So like, I won't go do it right now. And I was pro for 15 years. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to do it anymore. I know I can do it if I wanted to, but I'm like, dude, for what? For what? Like,
why so we go old school. We set up some little ramps on the street.
Yeah, now we're talking. I mean, we could do something like that. It would be fun for you. But
I'll throw some training wheels on just in case. Bubble tape.
Wrap you completely up in bubble tape. Then you take that.
Yeah, as long as we got helmets, exactly. You know, whatever.
Has your daughter, TJ, because of who you are and your influence and your celebrity status, ever taken advantage of that for herself in any form or fashion?
Not once.
Wow.
She is very... almost embarrassed about it. Like,
really?
Dude, she doesn't love it. It's like something that she does not take lightly. She, she's almost, almost too humble about it. You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, babe, like we're doing all right. Like what the heck, you know? And she's like, nah.
Do you get stopped in public often?
Yeah, almost every day.
And with your daughter, is that when it's like weird for her?
A little bit. Like she's pretty cool about it. I mean, she'll take the picture or something maybe sometimes, but not. I try not to let her be the one that's taking the picture. You know what I mean? Like, I take the selfie with the person or whoever, whatever, whenever. And same with my wife. Like, she's real cool about it too. But like, they're both like almost embarrassed about it. So it's like, I try not to push it in their face at all. Like I just do whatever, you know.
That's cool. I'm pretty famous within like a 40 square mile radius of where I live.
So
it's very small, but in this 40 square miles, I can't go anywhere. And it's the same thing with my kid, my son. He's 11 now, so he's starting to become a little more aware of things. And it happened just the other day, walking through the mall. Some dude walking by, JP, I was like, bro, as we passed each other. And my son just looks at me and, who's that? I'm like, I have no idea, kid. He's like, well, why do you know your name? Like, the radio. I work in radio here for the last 20 years. So that's
kind of cool.
But yeah, it's funny how it doesn't even seem to bother him. But I'm assuming the advantage taking is going to happen at any time because it's already happened with my daughter. Believe me, anytime anyone of any influence had a concert anywhere in the state of Oregon, Northern California, Southern Washington, she'd, you know, hey, psst, did you get tickets for that? Because me and my friends, it's like, come on, girl, come on. Yeah,
my daughter.
Oh, really, that's so cool. That
I've been a concert promoter for like 20 years and I've got a lot of friends in the industry.
Yeah.
And Andy Grammer happens to be one of them. And my daughter is like diehard Andy Grammer fan. So the first time he came to Southern Oregon, I texted him like, hey man, can my daughter get backstage and say hi? He's like, yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. Like I would appreciate if my daughter wanted me to do something like that. I would like that, but she doesn't. She buys her own tickets. It's crazy. She's like, I'm like, babe, like I know the owner of that venue. Like I'll get you wherever you want. Nah, it's okay, dad. I got tickets. We're good.
Appreciate that.
I'm just like, okay. But it's funny, man. It's wild, like how not into that she is, you know. It's yeah. funny, man. And then but what's even crazier is when she was in fifth or sixth grade, I was home here, and this couple of SUVs pulled up and opened the gate, and my friend back in the day, Jesse Rook, he passed away by now, but he was real cool. Like, he was a bike builder, and he called me and he's like, "Hey man, can you open your gate?" And I was like, "Sure." So I opened the gates and they come in, and Jesse Rooks is one of the guys. And then these two little Asian kids come running out, and they're so cute. And I was like, "Whoa, what are you guys doing?" And they were like, "We're here to ride four wheelers." And I go, "The track is too gnarly for that." But they're like, "It's okay. We're going to ride on the desert." And I was like, "All right." And then this guy comes around. He's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? Oh my God." And it was Brad Pitt. And like, so Brad Pitt came over, right, to ride four wheelers. And now I'm tripping out. And I'm like, "Dude, this is insane." I go, "Hey, I got to go pick up my daughter because it was time." So I went and picked her up, brought her back. And she rode on Brad's lap on a golf cart out to the desert for about 4 hours. We were out there just hanging. She's hanging with Brad Pitt. It's so funny. And no one ever knows that. And has ever heard that. I've never heard her tell the story. She doesn't even know or care about any of that. It's the crazy. And that's the biggest star in the world. You know what I mean? Like, that's yeah, the right. biggest, that's the so fanciest crazy. Dude I ever met. You know what I mean? Like, who's the nicest, coolest dude I ever met. Sweetest dude you could never imagine. Him and Pharrell Williams are the two nicest dudes that I've ever met. Like,
I don't suppose you got Brad's number still. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He's a bucket list for Dadcast.
He is an amazing individual, but no, I don't have it. I have his old assistant. That
fair enough. We'll just do it the old fashioned way and just keep bothering him. I mean, it worked yeah. for you.
I'm not exactly Brad Pitt.
That all depends on who you ask and in what circles. I'm pretty sure Brad Pitt can't mob the hell out of a BMX bike.
Seasons of the Challenge. I did do backflips over Maddox and Packs and Maddox back in the day.
Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Was Angelina around?
What's that?
Was Angelina around?
She was on the phone.
Okay.
And he was shooting pictures of the texts and videos of the texts and stuff like that. So that was back in the Angelina days.
So I was, she had to have been on the phone because, you know, knowing her, she probably wouldn't allow someone to do backflips on bikes over their kids if she was paying attention.
No, she wouldn't.
What has been, and don't worry, I'm going to follow this one up, TJ, with a more positive question. But what has been, and we may have already touched on it, the most difficult thing you've encountered being a father?
That was that moment when her and I had that falling out when she was 17, 18. Just that moment alone was like, oof, that was the worst possible thing for being a father. But the second worst thing was when she turned 12, 13, didn't even know why she was having, feelings that she was having, why she was crying. Things like that, you know. I was like, damn, dude, like she's really mad at me, but she doesn't know why. And so when she said some like interesting things that were like pretty hurtful, right. You know, like don't tell me what to do, you're not my dad type thing, you know, back in the day, where she was like, you're my dad, I'm sorry, you know what I mean, to where she's real cool, like, you're really my dad, like, sorry, you know. And that hurt at the time, but it didn't hurt as bad as when I messed up. You know what I mean? So like when I said something and messed up, it was like, dude, you're an adult, you're an idiot. She was a kid, like you're stupid. So it was better for her to mess up and didn't hurt on me at all. Whereas like me messing up man, that sucks.
And what has been, if you could even put nailed ahead on one answer to this question. What's been the best part, the most fulfilling part of being a dad to your daughter in TJ Loudon's life?
I every month she texts me $175 every month in Venmo. And I said, baby, what's this for? She goes, my car insurance. And every month I get that money, and every month I'm just so proud that I get that money from her. And I'm like, dude, like, this is badass. Of course she gets it back. I go and give her $100 for a haircut, and then go do another $100 for this, or $100, right. You know what I mean? Of course she's going to get it back. I'm not that cold, but it's just amazing that she takes the moment to send that, because that's her job. You know what I mean? That's her, she has to do that. That's her responsibility, her bill essentially, like, yeah. Which I never even asked for. She just does. She just does it. So that's pretty damn cool. Like, she, how much is my insurance, dad? I said, $175 a month. She goes, all right, cool. And that's what I get every month. It's crazy. That's, I should have said 500.
So I want you to meet my superstar. This is my littlest. Her name is Avery. She's 8.
Hi, Avery.
That's TJ.
How you doing?
Hi.
Wow, she's beautiful. How you doing, Avery?
And I got a green screen on, so this is parts of her shirt that are green. That's pretty important. Loving your pigtails. Okay. So remember when we were just on YouTube and I was doing a deep dive on my guest, and we saw his episode of Cribs? That's TJ right there. She's not normally shy, only to good looking guys. So there you have it. You know, if you ever needed any convincing, which you probably didn't, there you go. All right.
Oh, baby.
All right. What are you doing today? Is it? Going to mommy. I love you. All right. Good talk. Oh, go. All right. Come on. I got an interview, baby. All right. All right, Nick, is it time? Did you put together a fast five?
I did. All right. I got fast 6 today.
Ooh, it's like the sequel. Okay.
Messed it up last time, dude. So
this is a quick segment we do. Nick's going to ask you 5 this time, 6 questions, usually pretty simple and straightforward. And here we go. Nick.
All right. What's your coolest on-set location you've been to?
Queenstown, New Zealand.
Nice.
That was pretty damn cool.
Right on. Can you pass the trivia questions on the challenge?
Yes, I can. Even if I'm hanging off the edge of a cliff, because I don't have fear of heights.
Okay. What is the most extreme thing you have seen on the challenge?
Jumping from car to car when they were greased up seemed really, really difficult. When it was a jump that was out of reach and greased up, that was probably a little too hard.
Sounds really difficult.
Yeah.
If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
It would be kind, just to help people remind them that, like, maybe I don't have to be a jerk and honk the horn, you know, like, just be cool, man. Just be kind.
Awesome. On the challenge, do you have a favorite contestant?
Leroy is probably my favorite, like, contestant that's ever been on the challenge. Like, he's my guy.
Cool. And then why do you hate quitters?
Because everybody and their mom calls me to get on the show. Like, I get hundreds and hundreds of texts every day. Please, I want to be on the show. I want to be on the show. Like, from people on Instagram or Twitter or wherever else. Like, they just really want to be on the show. And then I have somebody that actually went through the casting, went through the process of getting on, got picked, and is on the show, and then they throw it all away. And that kills me. Like, I'm like, dude, I mean, you are going to regret this so much. And every time they do, like, they regret it. The second that they quit, I think almost the second that they quit, the timer starts, and it's got to be less than 24 hours before their whole life is filled with regret. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's my 6 questions.
What's right. the typical reason that most contestants quit for?
It's there's a number of different reasons. Like if it's recently, it's been because they're pregnant, and it's like, okay, well, you can't really smash someone for being pregnant and then quitting. Right. Like, you got to be like, oh, well, congratulations. Like, that's awesome. But if it's somebody that's like missing their girlfriend or something like that, then now I'm going to give you a hard time. That's the number one reason in the history of reasons where somebody quit that I was very mad about. I was like, dude, that's it. And that's where, all right, don't take care, hope to see you, never was born.
Like, right?
I love it. That's awesome.
Do you have it? There she is. She's eyeballing me from the over there. She always does it. She stares from the side. What is Dad doing? Do you have any interest in pursuing that musical career that you got? Do you still do you slam on those keyboards at all?
No, I don't have any. No, I don't. I love making music. I love it. I don't really like think about if that was going to be my job or not. You know what I mean? But right. I never did that. I never did anything for money. Essentially, like I love the challenge, so I hosted. I love BMX, so I wrote it. Like that, I did all that stuff because I just love doing it, and it is what it is. If I were to do anything in music, it's because I love music so much. And then somebody was like, "Yo, you want to do this?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." So I would do that. You know what I mean? To where it's like, if I were to open for somebody or something cool like that, like it would be awesome. I would love that. And I've done a little bit of things here and there, and I do open mics here and there. I love that. It's just fun to me. I see a lot of talented people as well. And some of them I feel like are going to make it. Like this Michael Richter kid that comes to open mics all the time with me is the truth, man. This kid is amazing. He's an amazing songwriter. He plays guitar like you would never believe. And the kid just really rips. And I think that he's going to be somebody that we're like, I told you so.
Nice. Yeah. I totally dig watching your Instagram lives too. You can tell you love doing music. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's not the best music, but it's just fun. You know?
Yeah. Well, you're totally into it though. It's a lot of guys will just go on and do it just to do it. Just like, oh, I need more followers. I need this. So you do it just because you love it. Man. So you can totally tell that. So.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it, brother.
All right. So I'm going to finish this up with one very important question. In TJ Lavin's mind, if you were to impart one bit of fatherly wisdom onto any brand new father who will eventually hear this or watch this episode, what is that piece of advice going to be?
Stay on their team. That's it, man. If it's a girl, teach her how to drive stick and stay on the team.
Right.
If it's a boy, supply the condoms and stay on the team.
There you have it. Fatherly advice from Mr. TJ Lavin, host of MTV's The Challenge. TJ, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day, man, and coming on the podcast, man. It's been awesome. Happy freaking birthday, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Tomorrow,
thank you
both right?
very much.
Yeah, thank you, man. This is awesome.
Right on. Appreciate you guys. Take care,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. And for everyone else listening, watching, please like, up, subscribe, comment. If you have a message or a comment for TJ, go ahead and put them down there below. Check them out on MTV's The Challenge. And that is that, man. Again, TJ, thank you so much. And we'll see all of you next week. See ya.
Much love, guys.